Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be.
Can you believe that September is almost over? It's like, oh my goodness, it was just January a minute ago. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are present. I thank you, Lord, that you have a word, and I pray that it will not return void, but it will accomplish everything you set forth for it. I thank you, Lord, for hearts that are open. Father, I thank you for a church that is unified. I thank you, Lord, for a church that honors you, that praises you. Thank you, Lord, for a church that worships in spirit and in truth, that's focused on soul winning and discipleship. And I thank you, Lord, for an incredible church, an incredible season. God, we praise you for the building. But God, we don't just put all our hope in a building, because our hope is in you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Church, I want you to know how much I love you. And I just, like Mark said, it's such a privilege and such an honor to be a part of this community. I love our diversity. Thank you. I do. Just even on stage this morning, Chinese, Argentinian, Malaysian, Polish, Mexican, and American. So we're going to fight for the unity of our church. We're not going to allow division to cause us to get distracted or confused in any way, but we will continue to preach Jesus. And I want you to know, while the storm rages out there, it does not rage in here. While the storm rages out there, it does not rage inside of our hearts either. Because people need to find Jesus. People need to find hope. And they will come into a house like this and they will find peace. Because we do not let the storm distract us. And we do not let the storm rage within our heart. Now, if you've been traveling over the summer, I want to say welcome back. Over September and August and September, we've been talking about counting the cost. So I'm going to take you back to the beginning of August and see if you guys remember when Pastor Mark began this series, this season, this theme. He loves speaking in series. But we began with Pastor Mark addressing, well, what are the things that would distract us? What were the things that would prevent us from counting the cost? And then when we're in the Renaissance, he talked about how when we count the cost, remember that facts are always subject to faith. And then we talked about counting the cost for biblical generosity, inspired by need, motivated by love, but determined by faith. And we talked about the cost of discipleship, and then we talked about the cost of loving each other, and then last week, the cost of building the church. And this week, we're talking about the cost to make him known. Or counting the cost for the lost. The cost to make him known, or counting the cost for the lost. Why do I give you two sermon titles? Because a sermon title is meant just purely to help you remember what was preached on. So you can either pick my first option or my second option, whichever for you encapsulates the sermon today. I remember one time I gave you a whole bunch of options, and one of them was, it's time to get another jar. J-A-R. But half of you heard, it's time to get another job. J-O-B. So let's just make sure that we're talking about the right thing today, all right? Please don't come up and say, well, my pastor told me that I needed to quit my job. No, she didn't. All right, so why do we need to count the cost for the lost? First reason. I'm going to cover two reasons, but the first one is we only have this life to decide where we're going to spend eternity. We've got one life. It's this one to decide where we're going to spend eternity. And so if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, if you didn't bring your Bible with you, you'll see it on the screen. But we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to read verse 27 and verse 28. And just a gentle reminder, if you don't have an actual physical Bible, please go out and get one. Make sure there's one for everyone in your household, because there might come a day when you cannot access it online. Hebrews 9, 27 to 28. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, So also Christ was offered once and for all as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. I pray that you're eagerly waiting for the return of Christ. Why is it so important that we count the cost? Because you and I have one life. Our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members, our friends at school have one life to decide where they're going to spend eternity. It's each person, die once and face judgment. What's that movie with Brad Pitt? What are their two certainties? Death and taxes? Yeah, right? I just remember Brad Pitt because I think he's good looking. Not as good looking as my husband. It's appointed for us once to die and then to face judgment. So what does that mean? From the moment that you and I exit this earth, you and I will give an account for our life. We will stand before God and we will be judged according to our works. We will also be judged according to our acceptance or rejection of the gospel. Meaning I have one life, to accept him or to deny him. I want you to know there's no reincarnation. There's no second chances after death. Where you and I and our friends are going to spend eternity is going to be determined by the decisions we make on earth. That's why it's so important that you and I make a decision right now to count the cost for the lost. The good news, though, is that Jesus died once. He doesn't have to keep dying for our sins. And when he returns, he's not returning for justification of our sins. He is returning for our resurrection. He is returning for us to spend eternity with him, for those who are eagerly awaiting him. First reason is we've got one life. Second reason is that every single one of us need to count the cost to make him known, because scripture tells us to be ready to give an account for the hope that we have in Jesus. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 15 to 16. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see your good life you live because you belong to Christ. Two reasons why it's so important that you and I count the cost is because we've got one life. And after that, we will face judgment. Second reason is that we are instructed to be able to share the hope, give a reason for why you love Jesus, give a reason for why you believe in him. And so I want to share this morning the gospel, hopefully in a bite-sized, memorable way, so that we can all be equipped to give a reason for the hope that is within us. So you ready? Number one, God's design is perfect. God's perfect design. When God created earth, when he created Adam and Eve, he did so in love. And he created us to be in relationship with him and to be in relationship with each other. Let's go right to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God's creation is perfect. God's creation of the earth, of humans, everything was absolutely perfect. There was no gap between his relationship with Adam and Eve. It was all perfect in design. But then came our sin. See, when sin entered into the world, what happened is that we turned away from God's perfect design and we chose to go our own way. Adam and Eve at some point in the garden said, I know this is what God said, but you know what? Just maybe. It's what we do continually. It's when we go, God, I know this is what you said, but I'm going to choose my own way. And when sin entered in the world, there was a separation between us and that perfect design that God created. Turn with me to Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For it is our sin that broke our relationship with God and brought separation, death, and brokenness into the world. I know you might think that there's a whole lot of other reasons why there is brokenness, separation in the world, but it comes down to a sin problem. It comes down to the fact that you and I, because we are born into a sinful nature, is what brings that separation. And you might think, have all really sinned? I've lived a pretty good life. I haven't, you know, hurt anyone. I haven't done wrong by anyone. Just the sheer fact that you are born into sin. You can thank Adam when you get to heaven. And the other half of you can thank Eve if you want. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. There is no getting away from the wages of sin, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What God created was perfect. Our relationship with him was perfect. Sin entered in the world, not by anything that you did. You had no decision or say in the perfect creation that God had. No say about his design. You had no say about sin entering the world through Adam and Eve. And we were not able to solve this problem. Number three, God's answer is Jesus. I remember being at Bible college or at school and they like ask you a question and you're like, is Jesus? Because Jesus is always the answer in some way or another. I want you to know this is how good God is. He didn't leave us in our sinful nature. No, he sent his son, his one and only son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life, a life that you and I could never live. Why? Because we were born into sin. And he died on the cross. He rose again. In so doing, he defeated sin and death. And the good news is he is returning for us. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. Because I'm reading the Amplified, it says, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin. Can somebody say amen? And live for righteousness, for by his wounds you who believe have now been healed. Jesus is the answer to the problem, right? He came, took on himself the sin of this world. And you and I are free now from the penalty and the power of sin for those who believe. God's design was absolutely perfect. I didn't have any say in that. Then sin entered into the world because of the decisions and choices that Adam and Eve made. I had no say or choice in that. God, in his grace and his mercy, sent Jesus as a way to rectify that problem of sin. I had no say or choice in that. But the fourth thing is where you and I come into play. It's our response. When we're talking about the gospel, can't just talk about the gospel as in what God did, sin, and Jesus. There's always has to be a response because the gospel is an invitation. And it's an invitation that requires a response. And I'm either going to repent and turn from my sin and believe in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, or I'm going to reject that invitation and I'm going to remain in my sin. And I want you to know it's a personal invitation that every single one of us at some point have to either accept or reject. I grew up in a Christian home, and as much as my parents loved me, as much as my parents prayed for me, as much as my parents dragged me to church, as much as my parents shared the gospel with me, their salvation and their acceptance of the gospel was not going to save me. I had to make the decision for myself. Just as a spouse, you cannot make that decision and response for your spouse. They have to make that decision personally for themselves. You can't make it for your children, and your children can't make it for you. But I remember the day, even though I had all this information, that I encountered Jesus personally. I was 18. I was in my room and just been studying a whole bunch of different religions, and I was getting confused. How many know that there's rabbit warrens you can go down? I tell you what, if ever you're feeling confusion, I want you to know it's not from God. He's not the author of confusion. And I was just sitting there, and eventually I just cried out to Jesus. And I said, you know what? I know what I've been taught, but I need to know for myself that if you are real, if you are the one true God, I need you to reveal yourself to me. And that night I had this vivid dream. And for those of you who know me, I wake up in the morning, those dreams are gone. Who remembers their dreams when they wake up in the morning? Sometimes. Who just doesn't? I used to say I don't dream, but then when I did psychology at university, it turns out everyone does dream. It's just some of us don't have the ability to recall it. But this dream I did, and I vividly saw every single religious figure that I'd studied. And just in a moment, they all just fell over. And it was Jesus Christ alone that was standing. I got out of my bed, knelt on the floor, and I repented of my sin, and I responded personally to the gospel. And I pray that every single one of us, when we have an encounter with Jesus, that we respond to the gospel. Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Do what? Repent and believe the good news. You see, when we put our faith in him, we are forgiven. We are reconciled to God and given eternal life. How do I do this? Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. If you believe with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. When the invitation comes, when you give the invitation to your friends and to your neighbors and to your family, I pray that there's faith in our heart to believe, that we will count the cost for the lost, that we would count the cost to make him known. God's design is what? Absolutely perfect. What entered into the world? Sin. What did God do to solve our problem of sin? And because of that, I'm left with what? A response. And the result of all those four things, when I respond in faith and I choose to accept, the result is new life and purpose. Church, I want you to know that in Christ, you and I are made new. We are restored back to that right relationship with God. Romans 6:22, but now you are free from the power of sin. You are free from the power of sin. And you have become a slave of God. You're not a slave of this culture. You're not a slave of a political party. You are not a slave of your nationality. You are not a slave of your background. The only thing that you are a slave to is God. And he is good and he's perfect and he's kind. And because you've been freed from the power of sin, now you do these things that lead to holiness, that results in eternal life. Are you living with purpose? Are you living with hope? Are you counting the cost to make him known? Are you counting the cost because the lost matter so dearly to Jesus? You know, counting the cost for the lost is important because we have one life to live and because every leader must be equipped and ready to share the gospel with others. So what's it going to cost? It might cost you that social media post. The decision to post or not to post, that is the question. It's a decision about losing your witness. You might go, this is really important to me, and please go ahead and post if you do. But just know that when you post sometimes, you literally are losing your ability to witness to anyone else who thinks differently to you. So post what you're for. Don't post what you're against. Post why you chose that. Not, I hate that. Because the minute that you do, you've literally just lost your witness. We live in a very divided area. We want to reach people from both aisles of the political party. This is not a church that worships the Constitution above the Bible. Is the Constitution amazing? Yes. I mean, your political system is brilliant. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But it's not as brilliant as Scripture. There was nothing in your constitution that can save you. It was God's design. It was our sin. It was Jesus. It is our response to Jesus. So be cautious when you post and ask yourself the question, am I going to lose my witness with this half of the world? Make a decision. Second one is, it's going to cost our comfort. How many love to be comfortable? We all do. You know, Mark's family was just here from Australia. Do you know how comfortable it is for me to be around Australians? Don't have to worry about the R. Can pop the CH in there for a T any minute I want. I can inflect on the end and you don't think I'm asking you a question. I can talk really fast. I can speak slang. With, you know, I know it's comfortable to be around people that sound like you. I know it's comfortable to be around people who've shared similar experiences. Believe me, I get it. I'm a missionary to this great land from a country that was colonized by convicts and prostitutes. It's going to cost you your comfort. Imagine being so equipped and ready to share the gospel that you're willing to put your comfort aside and that you would speak Jesus, that you would share the gospel in a respectful, kind way, so that when they look at your life, they're like, I want to be a Christian like that. There is something about this church. There is something about this person. I can begin to see Jesus because of the way you and I are living our life. But it's going to cost me my comfort. It's not just my personality, Pastor Ellie. I'm an introvert. I'm shy. I don't talk to people I don't know. If you're willing to start to count the cost for the lost, you're going to let that drop. Oh, it's Rob Katona's job to lead everyone to the Lord. No, it's not. It's every single one of us. So count the cost for your comfort. The second, or the third one, is count the cost with your time. It's going to cost you your time. If you look at your calendar for the month of October, how much space, how much time have you dedicated for those who do not yet know Jesus? It's going to cost you your time in prayer. At Exchange, we have a thing called Prayer of Three, P-O-3. Put a calendar reminder, set an alarm, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., 12 p.m., whatever time. And when that alarm goes off, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for my friends and my neighbors who don't yet know Jesus. Every time I back into my driveway or I back out of my driveway, I'm going to pray for the salvation of my neighbors. It's going to cost you your time to pray. It's going to cost you your time to share the good news. And it often comes at the most inconvenient times. My son is running cross country. And so I'm on the sidelines of cross country all day on Saturdays. If you're feeling sorry for me, it's okay. I get baseball is way worse. But you know what? I'm sitting there yesterday and I'm trying to finish my sermon. I'm trying to just go through my notes. And this lady comes and she's standing next to me and she starts chatting. It's going to cost you your time. But that's okay. I got to share about Jesus with a stranger. Might never see her again. Who knows? Her kid runs in our local area, so I might bump into her again. But it's going to cost you your time. You're a Trader Joe's and you're in a hurry. The parking lot is full. It's going to cost you your time to share Jesus with a person who just served you. It's going to cost you your reputation. Scripture says that they will hate you because you stand up for Jesus. You're going to be called names. You're going to have labels slapped upon you, and you know that that's not a reflection of who you are, but you begin to share Jesus, and I promise you, all hell will break loose. You start to witness, you start to share the good news of Christ, and I promise you, the enemy will not be happy. And you will start to get called things that you never wanted to be called. But it might just cost you your reputation. It's going to cost you your resources. Do you know that if you were to invest into your local church, this is the only institution that Jesus Christ is returning for. It is the only institution that he began when he was on the planet. And if we're truly going to count the cost for the lost, it's going to cost us our resources. Yes, I give to the cross-country team. Yes, you probably give to your soccer team. Yes, you give to a whole bunch of things. But at the end of the day, the only one that deals with eternity is the church. And finally, I don't believe we're there yet, but sometimes it's going to cost even life itself. We're grateful to live in America, where we can meet in a school hall, where we can raise our hands, where we can worship Jesus. But I want you to remember your brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And according to the World Watch Institution, close to 5,000 Nigerians have lost their life because they would not denounce Christ. That's a very hard statistic to come by, and there's maybe countless others. There might just come a time where it will be a decision for your life or a decision to stand up for Jesus. Are you willing in this moment to count the cost? I know that the cost of making Jesus known is high. But I want you to know that the cost of making Jesus known is never greater than what a soul is worth to God. And when you're having a hard time counting the cost, would you remember that Jesus saw you as worthy of his life? When I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, this is a high price to pay. They call in me names. Okay, Jesus, you saw me as worthy of you. Worthy of your sacrifice on the cross. Church, may we see the lost of worthy of our time, worthy of our resources, worthy of perhaps losing a little bit of our reputation, worthy of a little bit of discomfort, all because Jesus is worth it and the soul is worth it. Amen. Church, let's count the cost for the lost. You got one life to live, and then we're going to face judgment. No do-overs once we stand before God. I don't get to come back, have another go. That's it. I got one life to live. I got one life to either accept or reject him. But also am I instructed that I need to be able to give an account for the hope that I have in Jesus. Learn to share the gospel. Learn to pay the price. Amen. I'd love everyone just to close their eyes and to bow their heads. I don't know where every single person is at. And I pray that a message like today is encouraging for your spirit, it's encouraging for your heart. If you have accepted the gospel, if you've accepted the good news, and you know that you are in right relationship with Jesus, then your homework from today is to get good at sharing the gospel, to know it in its five simple forms, in a memorable, fashionable way that whenever you encounter someone, you can share the hope. You can share the reason. But I don't want to assume that everyone has made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. I don't want to impose on you that assumption this morning. And so I'd love just to ask you a question. Where everyone's got their eyes closed and their heads bowed. Where do you stand before Jesus? Do you need to accept him? Do you need to invite him into your heart this morning? If that's you, I just want you to simply raise your hand. I'll see it and I'll pray for you. Awesome, thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's so important. Church, we're going to pray this together. Everyone in a loud voice, and especially those who raised your hands today, dear Jesus, today I ask that you come into my heart and make it your home. Forgive me of my sins and help me to live a life that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, I pray over our church this morning, God, a hunger and a passion to share the good news with the lost. I pray, Lord, for a stirring in our spirit and a stirring in our soul. God, not to live comfortable, God, but to live understanding there is a cost to making you known. And Lord, I pray that in this church, in this house, we would do it well. We would do it respectfully. We would do it with love and we would do it with grace. We would not compromise the truth. We would not shy away from it. But help us to do it well. I pray, Lord, that our church has been equipped this morning, equipped to share your good news, equipped to share the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that as we prepare for discipleship groups, Lord God, that we will be ready for the harvest that you're bringing in. And Lord, we just thank you that the cost of revival is discipleship. And Lord, we're preparing, we're getting ready. And I pray, Father, that we as a church would be unified, not in nationality, not in political party, but unified in the fact that Jesus Christ, you died for us, that Jesus rose again, and that Jesus is returning for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. We have some people who will connect with you, those of you who raised your hands.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.